Good morning. It's Monday, April 15th. I'm Yasmin Khan, in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. Coming up, Iran's retaliation against Israel puts the world on edge. After 20 years, detainees from Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison get their day in a U.S. court. And on tax day, tips for next year's deductions. But first, a criminal trial for Donald Trump starts today in Manhattan with jury selection. This is a first for the country. Before Trump, no former U.S. president had ever been criminally indicted. To help you follow the events in court over the next few weeks, we'll start with a reminder of what this case in New York is all about. Trump is accused of paying several people for their silence about their relationships to Trump through non-disclosure agreements. That includes adult film star Stephanie Clifford, better known as Stormy Daniels. She claimed to have a sexual encounter with him in 2006, and she was paid $130,000 for her silence just a couple of weeks before the 2016 election. Trump's former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, later testified to Congress that Trump directed him to pay Clifford and others using Cohen's personal funds. And the accounting of the reimbursement payments Trump made to Cohen is the reason why Trump is in legal trouble. Trump's been charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records for allegedly disguising the reimbursements as corporate legal expenses, which he denies. Under New York state law, falsifying business records is a misdemeanor, but it becomes a felony if prosecutors can prove the defendant falsified records with the intent of committing or concealing a second crime. And Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg will argue that, given the timing, these payments were part of an illegal conspiracy to undermine the integrity of the 2016 election.
That payment was to hide damaging information from the voting public. The participant scheme was illegal. The scheme violated New York election law, which makes it a crime to conspire to promote a candidacy by unlawful means.
In a recent episode of Apple News in Conversation, we dug into the contours of this case with Scott Detrow from NPR and Karen Tumulty from The Washington Post. Here's Tumulty on what she thinks Trump's defense team will argue.
So what they are going to say is that another citizen in similar circumstances would not face as many charges as he is for the exact same act. And I think that, you know, a lot of legal experts say that the DA in Manhattan is kind of reaching on this. At one point, somebody was referring to it as the runt of the litter. And I think a lot of voters may think, you know, this among the many, many issues being raised is the one that matters the least.
If convicted, the charges carry a maximum of 4 years in prison. And a key question is how a possible conviction for Trump could impact his perception among voters. Here's Detrow.
You have seen consistent trends of independent voters and moderate voters saying that they would have real concerns about voting for somebody if he was a convicted felon.
Of Trump's four criminal cases, where he faces a total of 88 charges, it's possible that this will be the only trial to happen before the election in November. Now to the Middle East, where Iran's retaliation against Israel is raising new fears of yet another major conflict in the region. The attack over the weekend included hundreds of drones and missiles. Nearly all of them were intercepted by Israel and its allies. A few did get through, causing minor damage to a military base and injuring a 7-year-old girl. This is believed to be Iran's first direct attack on Israel from its own soil. Though over the years, various militant groups have attacked Israel with the backing from Iran. This most recent attack was in response to an airstrike in Syria on an Iranian diplomatic building. Several top Iranian military officials were killed. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby spoke with NBC about the importance of preventing a much larger conflict.
The president's been clear. We don't want to see this escalate. We're not looking for a wider war with Iran. I think, you know, the coming hours and days will tell us a lot.
Iran said that its operation is finished, but it warned of a much stronger response if Israel attacks Iran again. Retired American General Frank McKenzie is the former head of U.S. forces in the region. He told CBS that Iran's ability to launch another attack like this would be limited, since it used up so many assets on this one.
The Israelis obviously were able to intercept most of them. Iran could not replicate last night's attack tonight if they had to. Now, they also use cruise missiles and they use drones to try to present a multidimensional problem to the Israelis. It was a maximum effort.
McKenzie said Saturday's attack was a key test of Israel's defenses, which held up. The U.S., France, and U.K. all helped in taking down the incoming Iranian weapons. Now the question is whether this retaliation to an Israeli attack will trigger an Israeli response, setting off a cycle of attacks that could lead to another war alongside the one in Gaza. A warning to listeners that our next story includes graphic descriptions of physical abuse. Today in Virginia, a contractor for the U.S. military will face allegations from former detainees of Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. They say employees at the company engaged in a conspiracy to torture prisoners in the early 2000s. After 9/11 and the invasion of Iraq, the United States used this prison, just outside of Baghdad, as a detention center. In 2004, CBS reported on widespread abuse, publishing a series of disturbing photos. Detainees were shown bound, often stripped naked. Talib al-Majli says he's one of the prisoners seen without clothes. He spent 16 months at Abu Ghraib. Like many held there, he was never charged with any crimes. He told NPR last year that his time in the prison ended his life as he knew it.
I lost my family, destroyed my health situation, destroyed my living situation, destroyed everything for me. And I always feel I was humiliated.
In one of the most notorious photos published, a man stands on a small box with a hood over his head and wires attached to his hands. According to the U.S. Army, he was told that if he fell off the box, he would be electrocuted. The photos also showed U.S. troops laughing, posing, and giving the camera a thumbs up. The images were widely condemned when they were released, and they led to an investigation into the U.S. Army. 11 soldiers were convicted of crimes, but no high-ranking U.S. military or political leaders were held legally accountable. And survivors of the abuse say they've gotten no justice. In the civil trial starting today in Virginia, three Iraqi men who were detained at Abu Ghraib without being charged for a crime will tell a jury about the abuse they say they experienced and why they believe the company, CACI, should be held responsible. The defense contractor provided interrogators to the prison. It argues that its employees can't be held responsible for what soldiers did and fought for 16 years to throw out the case. The plaintiffs argue that CACI created conditions that led to torture, telling military police to soften up detainees before questioning. The retired Army general who led the investigation into the Abu Ghraib scandal is on the list to testify. The trial is expected to take 2 weeks. Finally, it's tax day. Hopefully, you've already filed. But whatever your situation is now, we hunted around to find some tips that might help you have an easier time scoring a few choice deductions. The first thing to remember, according to a CPA interviewed by Vox, is trust yourself and try not to worry that you're doing something wrong by taking a deduction. That said, there are some deductions you really should not try. The longtime personal finance columnist for The Washington Post, Michelle Singletary, asked a tax pro about some of the unusual and unsuccessful deductions people have attempted. Like the person who wanted to deduct the cost of having evil spirits cleansed from their home, arguing it was medically necessary. That's a hard no with the IRS. Just because something might make you feel better doesn't make it a qualified medical expense. And that rule applies beyond ghostbusting. As far as getting ahead on taxes for next year, the CPA interviewed by Vox says, start simple. create a folder called 2024 Taxes. When a receipt or something comes in that you might need, put it there right away. And it'll save you a lot of hassle when the time comes to file, since you'll have just one spot to look. You can find more tips from those stories in the Apple News app. You'll also find coverage of the latest sports stories. That includes Scottie Scheffler's win at the Masters, today's Boston Marathon, and tonight's WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark is widely expected to be the number one pick. And if you're already listening in the news app, stick around for the episode of Apple News and Conversation on Trump that I mentioned earlier. If you're listening in the podcasts app, follow Apple News and Conversation to find that episode. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.